we've been doing a study here on some of the Beatitudes the last couple of times that we've met. And so today I would like to look at a number three in regards to these Beatitudes that Jesus was preaching on the side here of a mount. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. As he was relaying this message to his disciples, he was relaying this message to many disciples, disciple labeled as those who follow. And so we had many that were following Christ at that time, many who wanted to see his miracles and to see his signs. But, oh my, at the end of this long sermon which he delivers, we find that a lot of people did not follow him anymore. I guess they didn't like that long-winded preacher. I don't know what it was. I guess they didn't like the things he had to say in regards to life and how we ought to live it. I guess they didn't like the way that he told them how they should pray. I guess there was a lot of things they didn't like that he had to say. Just do the miracles and we'll be okay. Huh. Well, we're looking at three here on the Beatitudes today. And it is a very good one. Today as we gather, we're going to explore one of the most profound and transformative teachings regarding the Beatitudes. And this is the blessing bestowed upon the meek. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, verse number 5 here, he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." When you first look at this, first glance, this beatitude is both comforting, but it's also perplexing. In a world that often exalts the powerful, the loud, and the proud, the meek are promised an inheritance beyond measure. What does it mean to be meek? Why does meekness attract such a wonderful blessing? And how can we in our daily walk cultivate and cherish this spirit? Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've blessed us with. Lord, I thank you for every soul that is here today, Lord, and all that are listening as well on Facebook. God, I thank you for their attentiveness, Lord, to be able to listen to that which you have for them today. God, I pray that you help me. Lord, help me relay the words across that are needful. Lord, I pray that if there be one here who knows not as Savior, Lord, today they will come to know you as Savior before it's eternally too late. God, I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we're all told to be, you know, number one. We're told, you know, to do anything you can to get to the top. We're told that if you are going to make it, well, sometimes you have to do some things that you might not necessarily agree with. There's a lot of philosophy this world offers humanity on how to excel themselves. If you want to gain the whole world, this is how you do it. I pity those of this world who strive and fight and suffer and toil so hard to promote themselves and to rise to the top only to die in the end and find hell as their eternal home. When I see those with the mansions, when I see those with the beautiful facade of life, and you think that, yes, they have truly made it, when I look on them and I see where they are, I pity them in many a way. Not those who know Christ as Savior and are rich, but those who do not know the Lord as Savior. I pity them because this is their mansion. This is as good as it gets. And for those of us who've lived on this earth, we know that there's a lot of things on this earth that just does not bring joy. Well, we're going to be looking at a biblical principle today on how we are to inherit the earth. How is it that we can inherit the earth and be satisfied? We must understand meekness. Meekness is frequently misunderstood. It's called weakness. It's called passivity. It's also called being timid. Yet, in the biblical context, meekness is strength under control. It is humility married with patience. It is power that is funneled through gentleness. To be meek is not to be voiceless, but rather to possess a spirit that resists that urge to retaliate and seeks to trust in God's timing and His justice. There's a Greek word for meek, it's praeus, which means gentle, humble, and considerate. Moses, who spoke to God as a friend. Moses, who actually called God out. Is described as the meekest man on earth in Numbers 12, verse 3. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, invited us to learn from Him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There's some things we can learn about meekness. We see not only understanding, but likewise we see the promise. As you see in this verse, that it makes a lot of people scratch their heads. What does this really mean, the promise to the meek? This promise is rather astounding. They will inherit the earth. This inheritance is not a conquest of domination. No, it's not another holy crusade. But it is quiet stewardship and divine provision. The world will prize itself on aggressiveness. It will reward itself for their ambitious endeavors. Yet Christ assures us that what is truly lasting and worthwhile comes to those who are humble before God and gentle among others. The meek will inherit the earth because they do not grasp or covet. They're the type that are content with what they have. They are not driven by greed. They're not given to selfish ambitions, but by the assurance that their lives are in God's hand. I find in the book of Luke, Jesus says that not a sparrow falls to which He doesn't know. The Lord knows even when a sparrow falls. He knows the changings of the seasons. He knows every hair that is on your head, even if it's not there as much as it was earlier on. Jesus knows all of these things. The Bible says that He will provide for His own. Why do we need to strive so much to acquire what the world says is success when we can learn to be content with what God has given to us? Psalm 37:11 tells us, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." It's because the meek are grounded. We're unshaken by the storms of life. We're rooted in the soil of God's love. Just as we find in Psalm chapter 1, we know where our place is, and that's close to the Lord. We've got some examples of meekness. Moses, I'd already mentioned him, all of those burdens, all of the people that kept on coming at him, those Israelites and their stubbornness, you know, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I've too much, you know, manna, give us something else, too much quail, give us something else. It's like they were just never content, you know, always, well, we're going to just take you out and stone you and put another leader over us. It'd been better if we were in Egypt, Moses, despite all of that. He bore insult, he bore accusations, but he bore it with patience, interceding for those who wronged him. Only one time we find where Moses let loose. Only one time. And for us, we would say, that's not bad. You know, I mean, for many of us, we would say, well, you know, striking the rock was not a problem. I mean, God should have forgiven him for that and let him enter the promised land. Well, God had a very clear message for Moses through that, speaking to the rock. Moses lost his patience. That was the one time we find meekness not and as an example of Moses. There's only one time. I'm surprised there's not so many more, because so many of us would have lost it many a time. How about Joseph? I mean, this guy was betrayed by his own family. He was sold into slavery. He was manipulated by the master's wife and thrown into prison. He was forgotten about while he was in prison. But Joseph chose to forgive his brothers, and he cared for them in their time of need. That's meekness in practice. How about David, King David? You know, before he was a king, he was hunted like a dog. King Saul found out that David was the Lord's anointed to be the next king, and Saul hunted him and pursued after him so many a times. And there were two occasions in which David was tempted by his men to rise up and to slay King Saul. However, on both occasions, David in his meekness could not touch the Lord's anointed. He waited on God's deliverance rather than seizing power at an opportune time. The greatest example we have of meekness is Jesus Christ. In His passion, as He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, we find this, He did not open His mouth in protest. Instead, He trusted everything to the Father's will. That's meekness, isn't it? Meekness in our own daily lives is something that we likewise need. How do we then, as followers of Christ, how do we embody this meekness as we've been given examples? How do we not become like this world through self-promotion and gain? After all, meekness is not natural to the human spirit, right? We want to be number one. Jesus says those who think they should be first should be last. Meekness in our daily lives. When you look at the fruits of the Spirit, this is actually one of those fruits that is likewise given in Galatians 5:23, that we are to be meek. This is something that must be cultivated. How is it that we cultivate? How is it that we continue to improve upon this gift of meekness? Well, it's through continual surrender. It is through constant prayer. And it is also intentional practice. Sometimes we have to intentionally do certain things. And this is one of those things that we truly would do better if we were intentional at being meek instead of trying to exalt ourselves. In our words, meekness is what restrains the tongue from harshness or even retaliation. Meekness chooses gentleness even when we feel like we could be justified in our anger. Moses could have said, "Look, Lord," when he struck the rock, "Look, Lord, I'm justified in hitting this rock. These stubborn people, You've given me to lead. I mean, can You blame me, Lord? Surely You'd forgive me for that." In our lives, we have people that can just rub us the wrong way. Do you know somebody like that? Do you have somebody in your life like that? I mean, there's times where they'll just rub at you and rub at you and just want to continue to see if they can get you to slip. Yes, this is where we must be intentional in practicing meekness. In our relationships, meekness is that which will seek reconciliation, not revenge. Oh, well, they did me wrong, so I am justified in getting even with them. Jesus says, "Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord." So we should give it over to the Lord and let Him take care of matters. He does a lot better than we do. Amen. Yes, He is so much better at that. It listens. Meekness will listen before it judges. It will also prefer peace over proving a point. It draws us to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. Meekness in practice, man. In our daily lives, it could change so much. In our words, in our relationships, in our ambitions, meekness is that which will surrender the need of recognition. Let God exalt you in due time. It is content. Meekness is content to serve without man's applause. It is also that which the Apostle Paul said, it is not puffed up. Meekness in our words, relationships, ambitions, but also in our trials. Trusts God's sovereignty. Give it to the Lord. Trust the Lord that He knows what's best. Accept those seasons of loss. Accept the seasons of misunderstandings, not as horrible times, but as opportunities for God's grace to shine through. So many times we look at meekness in a different light because, I mean, that's just not who I am. But that's who we need to be. We also see power power through meekness. I know it may seem like an oxymoron. Meekness means true strength. However, meekness is truly stronger than brute strength. The meek are not crushed by their adversities. Why? Because their hope is in the Lord. They will walk lightly upon this earth. They know that they are just ambassadors for the Lord, just strangers passing through, leaving space for others, showing others as well the love of Christ. After all, burdens are lifted at Calvary. There's no need for pride. There's no need for resentment because they are a child of God who practices meekness. Meekness will disarm hostility. It creates room for peace. The meek forgive where others would nurse grudges. The meek will build bridges while the world says erect walls. The meek in their families, in their workplaces, as well as in their communities, they are quiet. They are like a quiet revolution. Because they subvert the oppressions of others' egos. Meekness, truly in practice, is great. Oh, to be meek. Imagine how much different this world would be. If the leaders in our land, not just today, but even 4 years from today, imagine what this world would be like if the number one nation in this world had leaders that had meekness at the top of their bracket. They wouldn't be elected, would they? Because this world wants somebody who conquers. This world wants somebody who is strong, you know, and they look at strength, not as meekness, but strength as a means to defeat the foe. But there's a blessing here. We should look at this blessing for a moment. That blessing of inheriting the earth. Peace amid chaos. How is that possible? Well, the meek are those who will not strive. They will rest in God's promises. Matthew 23:15, Jesus tells of the fanatics encompassing the earth and how there's a woe that is placed upon them. If you remember last time I said that there's a passage of Scripture that gives the exact same number of woes upon the Pharisees as we find blessings here in the Beatitudes. Over in Matthew 23 is where you find this. Jesus says to those Pharisees, those hypocrites, He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Jesus was strong about those of this religious crowd that had pride instead of meekness along the way. It is good to win souls to the Lord. There's nothing better than sharing the gospel with somebody who has lost and seeing them come to know Christ as Savior. Oh, how wonderful it is. Even the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance. But woe to those of us who would dare darn the garment of a Pharisee or that of a scribe and use that message of grace to lead more souls to hell. Does not make sense, does it? No, it doesn't. Be meek. Influence by example, after all. Their influence or their gentleness of the meek will invite trust. It will inspire unity. It's a type of meekness that will likewise have enduring relationships. Even when times are tough, meekness will abound, because meekness is that which heals wounds. Meekness is that which sustains friendships. Meekness just keeps us together. Have you ever known that self-professing Christian that elevates themselves and says, "Look at me and how strong of a Christian I am"? How many friends do they have? The Lord was looking for those Christians that are meek. And we see the eternal inheritance here. Beyond this earth, the meek are heirs to the kingdom of God. Adopted as children, cherished and beloved, meek. God loves meekness. As we look continually here, we find that we're also to have some practical steps. There's some steps in order to have this meekness. How is it that we grow in meekness? I mean, Pastor, you're talking so much about it, but yet how do I attain this? I mean, I let me be honest. I'm rather blunt. You know, that's who I am. You know, I'm the kind of person who just loves to let it loose and let it go. How do I get meekness? Pray for a meek heart. God, shape my spirit to be in the likeness of Christ. God, mold it and fashion it as the potter to the vessel. Lord, give me a meek heart. You also need to practice listening more than speaking. I had to learn this. This was a lesson for myself. I had to learn to listen. Well, how's that phrase go? Listen, Linda, listen. I use that on my children when they tend to go out of control and not want to listen to any reasoning. It's important for us to listen to the Lord, to listen to our peers that are telling us godly things. Seek first to understand, instead of fighting to be understood. Let go of the need to always be right. I had to learn that one. Husbands, you know, yeah. She's always right. Just that's how it is, right? You're not going to win the argument. Just give over, men. The marriage relationship is a great place for a man to learn meekness. Value relationship over being right. Isn't it more important to have a good relationship with somebody than to always strive to be right? Oh, you know that person who's always right, don't you? And they always have the right answer. After all, the word right is tattooed on their heart. That's all that they see. I'm right. Everyone else needs to change. That's not the heart of one who is meek. Embrace service with humility, whether it be seen or even unseen. Meekness is learning how to serve, even if no one else is ever going to see what you're doing. Do it anyway as unto the Lord. This is a hard one here. Many struggle with this one with meekness. Forgive freely. Forgive. Hold no record of wrongdoings. Take that black book of wrongdoings of how someone has done you wrong all of your life. Take that black book and burn it. It's better to go into heaven with one eye than to go into hell with two. Forgive freely. How about accept correction graciously? Learn how to accept correction graciously. Stop being so defensive. Stop being so bitter. When someone tells you that you're wrong, okay. Inside, you still might be right, you know. Inside, you're still saying, I'm right. They're the ones that are wrong. But learn how to accept it graciously. That's a hard thing for people to learn. That's a hard thing for this pastor to learn. Accept correction graciously. Don't need to be so defensive. It's going to be okay. Trust God with your future. And stop trying to make your future for yourself. Leave it to the Lord. Resist that urge. I have to be in control. Meekness. It is a tough one, isn't it? The Bible says we will inherit the earth, those who are meek. Well, that's going to be every one of us in here, right? That would be the prayer. That should be the desire. But there might be one in here today who first must come to know Christ as Savior. Because you've been fighting it and fighting it continually, just as those who strive internally to always be right, to always be on top. You're fighting against what God is saying and laying on your heart. The Holy Spirit is saying, you need to get saved. You need to trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent. Are you holding on to that? One of the first steps of meekness, understanding you need the Lord as Savior. You can't get to heaven on any of your merit. You might have done a lot of good things. You might have even done things saying, I've done it in the name of the Lord. But if you're don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus will still say, depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So if you're the one in here today who needs to come to know Christ as Savior, it can be a tough decision to make. Hey, I wrestled with it for many years. One day I knew, I just knew if I didn't call on Jesus to get saved right then and there, this could be it. And I knew where I would go when I'd perished. Dear friends, the road to meekness is one that is not easy, but it is one that is full of blessing. It is an immeasurable type of blessing. In this noisy and self-assertive age, Christ is calling us to walk softly and to bear this fruit. With every act of humility, we proclaim the kingdom of Christ. We proclaim a kingdom that is not of this world. We proclaim a kingdom where last are first. And we declare that the humble are exalted. Let us therefore pursue meekness with all diligence. May we be known not for our power or for our prestige, but let us be known for our gentle spirits, for our trusting heart, for our unwavering hope in God. After all, blessed are the meek, for they and they alone shall inherit the earth. As we prepare for an invitation today, it's amazing that these words Jesus said over 2,000 years ago still makes sense for today. Are you going to be like those other disciples? you heard the message and then it's over and you just decide to go on your merry way and stop following the Lord and what He has to say. The majority of those disciples did just that. Or are you going to decide to say today, meekness, I need to work on that. God, give me a heart of meekness. That ought to be our prayer today. If you're working on that right now, and the Lord's already been working on you for that, you know, for years, praise the Lord that He's already given you that conviction. Praise Him today and say, thank you, God. But Lord, can you help me continue in meekness? Because just the moment we say, thank you, God, for making me meek, we have become proud. And all meekness has gone out the window. However God is speaking to you today, whether it's salvation, I'd love to share with you from the Word how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether you have a struggle or something you need prayer for, I'm down here or I'm up here for that as well. You can come and I'll pray with you. If you have a need for baptism, you know the Lord is your personal Lord and Savior, but you've never made that next step of obedience, come and talk to me about that. You're looking for a church home. You've been coming for a while, and you really like this place. You know, this is actually a pretty decent group of people. Hey, if you stay here long enough, you're going to find we have our faults too, okay? Because we are a church that is made up of imperfect people seeking to serve the Lord. If you'd like to make this place your church home, come and make that known as well during this invitation. I'd love to talk to you about that too. However God is speaking, do not leave here today without getting that matter taken care of as we stand. Brother BJ.